Thank you. Well, I sure feel a lot better singing hymns like that. I do it for myself, and I'm sure you enjoy it too. Oh, what a Savior. We've got this wonderful, wonderful Savior. But let's just now have a look now at those of you that have your Bible with you. We're looking at Psalm 139, and I realize I left out a few verses there for to make make it just right in sending it and on the screen and so on. But we will go through, hopefully, pretty well all that psalm. So if you can turn that up, Psalm 139, and the Lord will help us today. Psalm 139. Before I get started, I just wanted to mention a couple of things. I guess it would be just over 4 years ago. Yep. The last time that I remember standing up at the platform other than the Christmas thing. And I was asking for prayer for Lighthouse Community. Not yet, Casey. And so I thought I should sort of give a missionary report, but maybe not. But things are going slow in Lighthouse Community. However, we are getting to know quite a few folks, and I believe that things for eternity will count there. Some Jewish friends of ours down the street and down the next way, plus neighbors that we meet walking along the road and giving the gospel out a little at a time. So thank you for those, whoever you might be, that remember to pray for us. And we're trusting we'll see some souls saved. So thank you. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast searched me and known me. Past tense. David honestly reflects on what has been happening in his life, and the experiences of the Lord's people as well. In the life of David, things had not been going well. It had been really tough in the days of Saul, and David admitted to wanting to, quote, flee from God's presence. Verse 7. Some of David's escapism took place in the Philistines' territory. Achish was the king of Gath. But even then, God was behind him and before him and upon him. Verse 5. God's hand did lead him. And, verse 10, it held him. Thou hast searched me and known me. Past tense, all about me. But down in verse 23, you remember we read, where David is asking for more. At the end, verse 23, he says, Lord, search me. Present tense. Search me. Search me, not so-and-so. Lord, search me. Our brother was referring to that this morning. We are the Ephraim. We are the ones that need searching. Search me. I wonder, this morning, we're getting ready for a new year coming up. Are you and me willing to really pray like that and say, search me, and know my heart. Thou art acquainted with all my ways, but know me, search me, try me, he says at the end there. Am I really willing to say that? You know, we really have to be willing to have open heart surgery with God. We really have to have any blockages cleared out. There's no bypasses with God. He's got to clear out all the sludge in our lives. And then we can have, with new vitality coursing through our beings, we can have the power of God being with us. Isn't that what you want more than anything else? To really have the dynamic, the love, the power, the glow of the Lord shining through you. That's what we want more than anything else. Do you know you can't sin and win? Have you heard that before? You can't sin and win. In another figure, we have also a need to be transparent with God. Notice his word again, verse 23, transparent. He says, try me, try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Are we willing to say that? Are you willing to say that? Lord, have a good look at my life. Tell me if there's any wicked way in me. If you're anything like me, if you've prayed like that, after a while you say, that's enough, Lord. If we're really transparent, really honest, but you know, God can't really have it any other way. See if there be any wicked way in me. God wants to know the secrets of our heart. God knows the secrets of our heart. But we need to say, Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, not him, in me, Lord, let me know about it, that I can keep right and be right with you. Maybe there's some secret corner in my heart, holding pride or envy, some secret blockage in my heart that God would have me clear out of there for my own good so that he can put his power through again. But I won't cooperate with him. I wonder. Search me and know me. Know my heart. Have I listened to things that people say that I should not have listened to? James chapter 4 and verse 11 says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. Perhaps there is some corner of my heart that I've wanted to keep for myself or for some personal pleasure that I want to keep for myself, that God wants me to put to death and eradicate, but I won't let him. He wants to fill that corner of my heart with something better, and I'm standing against him. We don't want that, do we? Not really. King Jehoshaphat did, the scripture says, he did what was right because he, quote, prepared his heart to seek God. But King Rehoboam did evil because, quote, he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. King Josiah, quote, turned to the Lord with all his heart. 2 Kings 23:25. So we have to be transparent with God, who knows all about everything about us anyway. He knows our ups and downs, verse 2, our downsittings, our uprising. He knows our ups and downs. He knows our thoughts. Verse 3, he is acquainted with all our ways. Think of that. Not only knows our thoughts, but he's acquainted with all our ways. Casey, have you thought about that significantly? The Lord acquainted with all our ways, knowing everything that we do. Okay. I think there should be, the places I go, I think there should be a word of warning, and I think maybe some of you will agree with me here. There are these places called lotto centers, you know. And yeah, there are. Thanks, Casey. That's what they look like. And I think that it would be really good if there was a sign at the front of the table that said, "Warning! Danger!" Because the Bible says, they that will be rich, now listen to this, seven things. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Do I want that? And into many foolish, that's bad enough, and hurtful lusts, which drown men in perdition. Now, if they had that warning there, you know, wouldn't that be fair to the people that are unsuspecting? And they come, they think they're going to win big. And they don't know that this could be the worst thing that could ever happen to them. And then it goes on to these people that win big. Many riches, it says, people err from the faith. And that's bad. The worst thing that could happen to me is that all of a sudden I became a millionaire. But that's not the way the world thinks. The lineups are huge at those places. And the last thing it says, they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So God, you know, he's acquainted with all our ways. There isn't a thought in our mind. We can't go for that kind of stuff, can we? Look at the danger that could come from that stuff. Acquainted with all our ways. So, that's what we got in verse 3. And then in verse 4, there's not a word in our tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. When I was a little guy, we used to sing a song, "Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say." Verse 7 of our chapter. There is no way to flee from God. Verses 8 to 10 of our chapter. No matter how far you try to go, you can't outdistance God. You see that in verses 8 to 10? And then verses 11 and 12 of our chapter, there's no hiding in the dark that can escape God's light. And then verses 13 to 16, it says, God knew all about us, even from the womb. Even from the womb, he knew all about us. All about us. So the point is, if we're unwilling to make ourselves transparent with God, then we're going to have to answer for him in a coming day of judgment, says Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And at present, Hebrews 4 and 13 teaches, all things are naked and open before his eyes. And Romans 12 and verse 14 says, quote, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Boy, that $1 million isn't going to look like much on the day that you give account before God. So this psalm is a warning to you, whoever you might be. It's a warning to me also. But whoever you might be who thinks that God doesn't know all about your thoughts and your motives and your secrets, Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Right now, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. It isn't so much the belief that Jesus died for our sins on the cross and rose again, and that he's exalted at the right hand of God, but it's the giving over of my will to the Lord. Repentance. Repentance. Turning from sin and saying, no, I want to live for the Lord. Verse 17 of our chapter. How precious, precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How precious. Isn't that a comfort? God has precious thoughts about you. Precious thoughts that he has about you and about me. Years ago, I was in a junkyard looking for an automobile part. And as I was walking along through that junkyard, I stopped and suddenly I saw some words on a bumper of an old car. And the words said, you are precious to Jesus Christ. Oh. I kind of didn't think more about the junky old part I was looking for. What a message to me, to my heart, that day. God had that message for me. You are precious to Jesus Christ. Oh, friend, today, turn your eyes away from the junkyard of this world, of what it has to offer, and listen, you are precious to Jesus Christ. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's wonderful. But you know, there's something even more wonderful than John 3:16. I like Galatians 2:22. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Precious, precious love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for the ungodly. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. And I just wonder, maybe there's possibly someone here today who's never really thanked him for that love. Have you ever thanked him for that love? Why not right now, just where you are sitting, just close your eyes and say, oh, thank you for your precious thoughts and your love to me, paying that sin debt at Calvary. Now, looking back at our chapter, verses 5 to 10, we see how God's too wonderful. My son said to me, oh, that's too funny. I hear that used a lot now, too funny. Well, David said, thy thoughts to me are wonderful, too wonderful. The two wonderful ways that were in David's life, God's ways were too wonderful to him. Behind him, before him, and upon him, leading him and holding him, even when he had fled from God's presence. The fact is that there were things that David could learn in his life in no other way than by trials. David's own character needed refining. And this is true of us. And we wonder what's going on in our life, but let's just keep close to the Lord and find out, I needed that. God is trying to teach me something here. I better pay attention. I'll cooperate with him. It's a good idea. In 1 Samuel chapter 27 and chapter 28, David had been compromising with King Achish of the Philistines. He even lied to him. If you read 1 Samuel 27 and 28, he lied to him. He offered to go along in battle with the Philistines against Israel. And you know, while he was hanging out with Achish, David's town of Ziklag was being burned with fire. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So Ziklag was burned. And then the wives and children of David's men were taken away from them. So then David's men were so distressed, they spoke about stoning David. How quickly we are, eh? How quickly we see the faults in others of God's people and criticize. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And he asked for God's guidance and found out that God had already been behind him and before him. God had provided. This is just great. Just listen to this. This is something. I mean, it's just, imagine God doing this. Here, the city had been burned with fire. And now, what is David going to do? How does he know where these Amalekites have gone? And God provided an Egyptian laying down in the field. And God made that Egyptian sick. And he had been sick for 3 days. And David's men came along. They were wondering, well, how are we going to find out these Amalekites? And they came to this man lying in the field, collapsed. And they gave him some water and some raisins and some figs. And he said, if you don't give me back to my master of the Amalekites, I'll show you where they are. And he did. Could I have the picture, Casey? God had provided that man, the Egyptian, in the field, while David was way off with Achish and the Philistines, and Ziklag was burned to fire, and now how is David going to know how to get to the Amalekites? And here's a man God made sick 3 days before, so he would be right there at the time for David to find out how to get to the Amalekites. Do you think God cares? Even when we mess up, God's behind him and before him and acquainted with all his ways. And David and his men made some pretty quick work of those wicked Amalekites. But there's more to the story. The Amalekites had taken away from Judah a great spoil. And then they went on to get Ziklag. So they carried away the spoil of Judah and of the spoils of David. And they were having a great time with a big drunk, as you see in the picture there, this guy. And when David destroyed them, David got a hold of Judah's spoil and his own stuff. And what do you think he did with the spoils of Judah? He sent it back to God's people in Israel, in Judah. That's what God wanted him to be doing instead of mixing around with Achish and the Philistines. He wanted him to be working on behalf of his people in Judah. And God arranged it in a way that David couldn't have figured out. And now the spoils got sent back to Judah. See how God was at work behind and before and above, around. God just did a wonderful things. His thoughts toward me, David says, they're precious. They're precious. Maybe he was thinking about this event in his life. His thoughts toward us, verse 18 says of our chapter, they are more in number than the sand. Do you know, he has all these thoughts toward us, more in number than the sand. But in Revelation 3 and verse 19, the Lord Jesus actually says, as many as I love, I chasten. He wants you to get everything right with him. He wants you to keep right with him. In Genesis chapter 40, Joseph, if you tried to think of something wrong in the life of Joseph, you would have a time. Joseph was an example of a godly man. But in Genesis in chapter 40, God brought discipline into the lives, in the life of Joseph, because he loved him. Genesis 40, Joseph starts to think about being in the prison where he was, falsely accused. Do you feel like that sometimes? I'm not getting what I deserve serving you, Lord. Joseph might have felt like that. Genesis 40 and verse 14. And Joseph says to the other one, who he was going to go out of the prison, he says, would you think about me, you know, in this prison like this? Think on me when it shall be well with thee. And show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here have I done nothing that they should put me into this prison. He had a me problem right then, and God knew all about it. And God was refining Joseph. How do I know that? Because 2 years later, the Lord will take however long he needs to take with us if we don't pay attention. It's all right. He can work on us for 2 years. 2 years later, Joseph got out of the prison and changed his clothes and shaved and got into the presence of Pharaoh because of the dream that Pharaoh had. And Joseph said, chapter 41 and verse 16, Joseph said, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. It's not in me. So God has reasons, bringing discipline, correction into our lives. And if we pay attention and cooperate with the Lord, well, then we're going to get ahead so much faster. Could I have the next picture, please, Casey? Jeremiah was put in a dungeon. There are other reasons. It's not just for our own correction. A lot of times God sends things even when we are doing what he wants us to do. And it's the reproach of Christ that we're suffering for. And that's a wonderful thing. Jeremiah preached the truth, and people hated it. And Jeremiah was put down into the dungeon for speaking God's truth. Jeremiah 38 and verse 6, we read, they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon. And in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. He sunk in the mire. I wonder if there's a Christian here today who says, yeah, you've got that. It's exactly where I feel right now, is sunk in the mire. Not for any sin of my own. I was standing for the Lord, and now I feel I'm sunk in the mire. I've got problems that I just can't get over. It doesn't seem like God is listening to me. Do you feel like that? Well, day after long day, night after long night, Jeremiah was in the dungeon. Must have wondered, is this going to end? And do you know what? The next morning, Jeremiah, take these old rags and put them underneath your arms. You're coming out. You don't know, Christian. Maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. a prayer of your heart will be answered that you've been praying for 30 years. And that answer's coming. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. David got pulled out of the dungeon. I like that picture. I like the way God cares for his own. God did care. And God cares for you. Do you think that that stopped Jeremiah from preaching God's truth? Could I have the next picture? It didn't stop him from preaching God's truth. He was as bold as ever. Now, I didn't copy on the screen verses 19 and 20, so I'm going to read them to you, or you can follow along in your Bible, because we're kind of trying to go through this psalm, of course. Verse 19 of Psalm 139, "Surely thou wilt slay the wicked. O God, depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain." David learned to take a stand against the wicked, and so did Jeremiah. And David said, God's enemies take his name in vain. Well, the Bible has something to say about blasphemy and how blasphemy, people who take God's name in vain, blasphemy, do you know that blasphemy affects the environment? Did you know that? That's what Jeremiah says. This is the word of God speaking. Look at what Jeremiah said. Looking out across the troubled landscape, Jeremiah says, "How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of the field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed and the birds. There you go. We care about the birds. You care about the animals. What was the reason Jeremiah gave for the land mourning? The wickedness of people dwelling therein. Look at the next verse. "For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right." That's what the Word of God says. I was out for coffee with my wife last week. We had a nice time, of course. But I kept the napkin from our coffee shop. And it says on the napkin, "Save the environment one napkin at a time." Save the environment one napkin at a time. I wonder, is that really going to... Well, maybe I shouldn't suggest if that's going to make a difference. It wouldn't be politically correct for me to say maybe one napkin at a time is not going to save this environment. What does the Bible have to say? Let's have the next picture, Casey. Thanks for doing this. I should be using the flasher, but I'm a man and I can't multitask. So the next one. Here comes the environmentalist, our friend Isaiah. He has an environmental message that he's presenting. He doesn't use the word climate change. He doesn't use the term green footprint. But Isaiah does say, "The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languishes and fadeth away. The haughty," that means the proud, "people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they've been burning fossil fuels. Because they use wood in a wood stove, you know." No, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, the curse has defiled the earth. That's what's really hurting our environment. But you don't hear about that talk, do you? Let's go to the next picture. Thanks again, Casey. Here comes the environmentalist, Hosea. Hosea, he has an environmental message to say. He says, by swearing and lying and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwell therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also. God's enemies take his name in vain, and by swearing, the land mourneth. By swearing. So the next time you're at the grocery counter, or you're working with the kids, or you're at the bank, and you hear someone take God's name in vain, say, excuse me just a minute, don't you care about the environment? He said, we should talk that way, shouldn't we? Don't you care about that? Do you know what the Bible says about swearing and adultering and stealing? That's what's affecting the environment. That's what God's word says. So we're going to just wrap it up a little bit. But that all came out of that verse 19 and 20. Speaking wickedly and taking God's name in vain. God help us to be bold and brave. And the other thing, we've got to be separate from the world. I can't have the same worldview in here that the people of the world do. My worldview has to come from here and be bold and stand for the truth of God. God's people are to be separate from the world. In Ezra and Nehemiah's day, the problem was they were mixing in with the heathen of the land. And that's where they went astray. In the Corinthians' day, the church at Corinth, the problem was they were mixing in with the temple worship. Paul had to say, come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. The Lord Jesus himself said in the church in Revelation, come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker with her sins. We've got to be true. We've got to be separate from this world and take a stand for God's word of truth and not be ashamed of it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me. Let it be that this new year coming up, that we spend some time with the Lord, maybe at the beginning of the day, if you're that kind of a person, maybe at the end of the day, put your head on your pillow and say, is there anything, Lord, you'd like to speak to me about that maybe I'm not paying attention to? Search me, O God. Know my heart. And be the kind of people who he really wants us to be in this wicked world. We have the last hymn now. Could I ask you to come back, please, for the last hymn? Thanks, Evelyn. Just may this be a hymn that really I'm singing what the real truth of my life is. And may it be that you are singing the truth. That we are resolved, that we really, truly want this year to be a real year to the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. I'm going to ask you to stand, too, for this one. If you don't mind, please. Thank you.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world. Delight, things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the path of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Thank you. Be seated. Our Father, we do just pray that each of us would surely be seeking to really rededicate our life, our heart, our will, our all to thee. And for your own glory and praise, Father, serve you. We thank thee, Father, for your precious word and ask thou wilt add thine own blessing by thine own Holy Spirit. We commit the rest of this week and this day to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening.